Good morning.
Morning.
It is good to be here again. Lots of memories here. Two particular high points I can think. I was sat there working with the theme that you're working with this year. I was sat there behind the drum screen when I was baptized in the Spirit. I was baptized in water here, a little lower down. Not long after, and I think Claire Glaffin had to run home and get Roger's spare trousers, because I was had no spares. I don't know. It is exciting when God is on the move, and I know personally it's exciting when we recognize that and respond to it. My understanding is this is the third in a series where you're looking at the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, and this accompanies Francis Chan's book, The Forgotten God. And I can assure you, if there are any contradictions in what I say and what Francis Chan says, these are entirely intentional, and assume this is to encourage lively debate in your small groups. I pray it's going to be a really, really fruitful theme to engage with. The Spirit has a way of just breathing life into everything the Spirit touches, including ourselves. And I have the additional good news this morning of being able to say, to the extent that it is possible for me, the message will be short. We're going to leave an adequate time to respond to what the Spirit wants to do among us afterwards in a time of prayer ministry. Some of you I know may have heard a little bit of Emma and my story about where God has led us, not too far from here, just a little bit north of the M4, about the particular ministry alongside the local church we've got. As part of that, we have the privilege from last Easter of welcoming a Ukrainian family of four to live with us, lovely folk from a Pentecostal church in the Dnipro region. We've also had, since December, the privilege of hosting their mother, Lyubov. And we thought that our first family, well, our first three adults and a child, they were good bakers, because our oven was going day after day. I'd have these wonderful cakes, stuff we've never come across before, these almost cakes stacked with meringue one top of another. This is fantastic. This is really good. This is wonderful. God is good. And then their mother came to stay with us. And then the proper baking started. And you may think, like, oh, what's that John has got with him? Is that his packed lunch? No, it is not packed lunch. It is cake. Now, I don't know if you can kind of see that. I'll be very careful not to let it slip and fall. I can tell you all sorts of things about this cake. It's roughly 6 centimeters by 5 centimeters across. It's about 3.5, maybe 4 centimeters tall. It's made of layers of Genovese sponge, or Genoise sponge, if you fancy. Inside, it's made of eggs. It's got flour in there. There's sugar, I'm sure a pinch of salt, and some vanilla. It's baked, I think, at about 180 degrees Celsius. I'm not sure for how long. As I look at it, I can see some, I think it's a caramel buttercream, maybe. There's some nuts in there as well. Caramel. That's great. It's very, very interesting to know all this stuff about this cake. I'm sure it is. That's great. I'm sure we're enjoying this equally, aren't we? So you've got all this information, all this knowledge about this cake, but as I'm sure you appreciate. You can have information, you can have knowledge about something, but without the experience firsthand, it can be incomplete. And knowledge is useful, is necessary, but there's no substitute for real experience. And I would argue that if, as God's church, we want to dig deeper into the person of the Holy Spirit, then we should not just go for depth in our knowledge. We should go depth of experience too. Now, to generalize, and this is big picture generalizations, the church in the West, we tend to excel at the knowledge side of things, the volumes of theological understanding and biblical research and insight, a second to none. But in general, we tend in the West to generalize. Compared to our brothers and sisters in the global church, we tend to be a little weaker on the experience side of things. We tend to be a little less strong on the application of our faith. So often, the heroes, the amazing examples, heroes and heroines of the faith, they tend to be either in our history from decades ago, or they tend to be from somewhere in the global church where God's faithful people are hard up against it, often with great lack, poverty, facing opposition and persecution. That tends to be where the most dramatic stories of God at work come from, not necessarily always of the same scale in our midst. Knowledge, I'm sure we would all agree, is important. It is necessary. We need a good, solid, scriptural understanding of the person of the Holy Spirit. We need to know what the Spirit wants to do in us and desires to do through us. Without this knowledge and understanding, we are lost. But that needs to be matched by a deep and intimate personal relationship with the Spirit. And if we're serious about our faith, I firmly believe that experience needs to be grounded in our daily lives. Not just once a year at conference, not just once a week when we gather here as God's church to worship, but every single day. So let's put our reading today in a little bit of context. It's taken from a gospel. It's one of the four texts in the Bible that we have that tells us about the life, the words, and the works of Jesus, and the good news of what God has done through him, and what that means for you and me today. It's taken from John's gospel, and the part of that gospel that is called the farewell discourse, if you like, the goodbye message that Jesus gives his friends, the disciples, before going to his death on the cross. If you like to go deep in the biblical side of stuff to know our Bible better, you'll find a similar one in Luke chapter 22, a farewell message from Jesus before the cross. And at this time, as they gather together for the Last Supper, Jesus again predicts that he's going to be betrayed and he is going to leave them. They're naturally quite worried and upset, and they're a little bit confused. And so Jesus speaks to them. He teaches them in this extended way that we have written down in John's Gospel. He speaks to encourage them, to give them hope for what is ahead of them. And very specifically, he encourages them to believe, to love, and to obey him. And alongside these instructions is the great encouragement and promise that although he, Jesus, will be leaving them, God the Father will not leave them alone. He's not leaving them as orphans. He is going to send the person of the Holy Spirit to be present with them and to continue Jesus' own ministry through them. Now, this section of John, this farewell discourse, is ideally, I would say, something you want to take in all in one go, the whole lot of it, chapters 13 to 17, to really get to grips with it. I commend to you getting a Bible app on your phone, have someone like David Suchet read it to you, and take a bath, and just let's close your eyes and just listen, because there's something wonderful about this extended period, time of teaching that Jesus gives. It's a little bit like when you get into it, you're sat down at the table with Jesus. And if Jesus is saying something, you want to be there for the whole thing. You want to take the whole lot of it in, not just dip in and out. But bearing in mind our subject matter and the constraints of time, our desire to better understand the Holy Spirit, I am going to concentrate with my time here on just three specific verses. We're going to explore them a little bit, and we're going to ask at the end of each of them a practical question, something we can do that will help us to better understand and experience the person of the Holy Spirit. So let us begin at verse 16, where Jesus says to his friends, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Now we note the key word here is advocate, sometimes translated as helper or comforter. If you like to go a little deeper with these things, you might like to know the word in the original Greek is parakletos, I think. I don't speak ancient Greek, I don't read it, but that's the word I am told. In the ancient world, this word, parakletos, that we translate as advocate, helper, comforter, it might mean someone who acts as a broker, a go-between, who mediates between a powerful patron and another person. It could have been applied to someone who was summoned alongside another person, someone who could befriend them, someone who could give them advice, and if necessary, someone who could represent them to a more powerful person, perhaps a judge or a king. Now, of course, that is interesting. It's interesting information. It fills out the picture a little bit. But I have extra good news for you this morning. You do not need to know ancient Greek. You do not need to know ancient history to have a functional and fruitful relationship with the advocate, our helper, our comforter, the Holy Spirit. Some of us can be, but not all of us can be scholars of the Bible. But every single one of us, no matter our background, no matter our experience, can choose to have a heart within us that is open to the Holy Spirit, a heart that says yes to what he wants to do in us, and a heart that's got that little bit of bravery, enough to say yes to what the Spirit wants to do through us. So here is my question, as we think about this promise, that in the Holy Spirit we have a helper who is with us forever. Our question is, what are we still trying to do in our own strength? Now, have you ever tried lifting a sofa or a wardrobe by yourself? It is difficult. We have four sofas in our living room, which means there's plenty of room if ever you want to come up for a cup of tea. But we've shifted a reasonable number of those sofas around as things have been readjusted. And let me tell you, there's been occasions where I've been tempted to do it myself. So sort of think, okay, I know maths, I know a rudimentary sort of physics, if I sort of tip it up on this end and sort of shove it around and push it over there. And then there comes a point where you feel that little sort of twinge in the lower part of your back and you realize, you know, there's wisdom in doing things together. There are some things, like moving sofas, especially sofa beds, that are two-person jobs. If we try them on our own, we risk getting injured, and we can often make very little progress. The Father's plan for us, as we live our lives as believers, as God works through us in the world around us, the Father's plan, Jesus says, is for cooperation. When we think for a moment about that work of the Holy Spirit within us, that work he does on our heart, on our mind, changing us, renewing us from the inside out, helping us each to become more like Christ, that process that is called sanctification. How many of us, I wonder, right now, are trying to do some of that in our own strength? How many of us are fighting those secret battles against sin, against the power of anger and jealousy, that most pernicious of things, pride? How many of us are trying to fight those battles in our own strength? How many of us are trying to do the things that God has called us to do in life in our own strength? How many of us as parents, grandparents, workers, friends, brothers, sisters, people who have been given perhaps in the life of the church an area to serve in, a ministry, people who maybe that's not the case, but God has given you gifts, maybe a gift of encouragement or a gift of helps to someone else. How many of us, having recognized the thing that God wants us to do, are trying to do it in our own strength? How many of us, and I say myself included, always have that ear that is attentive to that still small voice of the Spirit in the busyness of the day? And how well and how good are we at maintaining that spiritual connection with the person of the Holy Spirit throughout our day? As Jesus' words remind us, in the Spirit we have a helper. We have an advocate available to us. And if God is offering, I think it's a fairly good idea to accept, to receive and cooperate with our helper. A second verse I'd like to look at is the next verse, verse 17, where Jesus goes on to say about the Holy Spirit, "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." That's good news. This is Jesus' promise for those who believe in him, that that helper and advocate will be alongside us in life and will be within us. It's perfect companionship, deep and intimate connection and relationship with us. For he lives with you and will be in you. When I first moved to Cardiff way back in 2005, I lived in a small room in a bedsit in Roath. Now, the bedsit had great advantages for someone brand new to the city. It was cheap. It's great. It had a central location. You could get just about anywhere in the middle of town. But it was pretty bad at getting to know people. Brand new in Cardiff, didn't have any friends here yet. I thought maybe the people I live with, I'll get to know them. But that was not the case. People worked different shifts. People, by and large, kept themselves to themselves. They'd get out of their room to use the toilet and the bathroom. They get out of their room to go and warm up a meal in the microwave, but that was pretty much it. The most conversation you'd have would be a few words in passing in a corridor. Now, I look back and I now compare that with family life, with Emma and our boys and with our Ukrainian family who live with us. We think about the hours we spent together eating, playing, just being in each other's company. Now, I don't think it's a big or very persuasive argument I have to make to say that is better. That is a better way of living with people, of relating to people. That is a better way to build deep and meaningful connection and relationship. Our next question is, when do we spend quality time in the presence of the Holy Spirit? We know what quality time looks like with friends. We know what it looks like with family. What does it look like for each of us? And I would put the frame of that on the day. What does it look like daily with the Holy Spirit? Jesus' promise is that the Holy Spirit, our helper, our advocate, our comforter, lives with us and is in us. And if you today are a believer and follower of Jesus, the Bible is clear. The Holy Spirit is within you. But as we live with the Holy Spirit, the question then is, what living arrangements, if you like, do we choose to have? Is our relationship with the Holy Spirit who lives in us a bit like a bedsit? Are we living our daily life largely independent with only those few moments in passing where we notice and recognize the Spirit's presence? In contrast, how close is it to that picture of intimacy and depth of relationship that Jesus spoke of, where he says to his friends and his followers, "You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." There's all sorts of good teaching out there in the Christian tradition on how we can deepen and develop our relationship with the Spirit. If any of you are particularly interested, I can commend to you two books. They're not new books. They've stood the test of time over the centuries. The first is a very short one. It's called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. It's about 300 or 400 years old at this point. One of the most influential books on Christian spirituality, that way in which we experience and relate to God. And if you're someone, you want to connect with that living presence of God when you're doing the dishes, when you're putting the bins out, when you're doing a shop, this is the book for you, to experience the reality of the presence and the immediacy of God with us in the everyday. That's the book for you. If you are someone who you've got a good quiet time, you want to go a step further, there's a second book I can commend to you. It's called Experiencing the Depths of Jesus Christ by Jean Guyon. Again, about 250, 300 years old at this point, a great classic. If I would encourage you right now, think of the moment of greatest closeness you've ever experienced with God. Perhaps you were away at conference somewhere and someone laid hands on you and you just felt overwhelmed with the presence of God. Maybe you think about those moments in a moving worship service when the worship reaches that crescendo and you feel just that, oh, that nearness of God, how wonderful it is. You think about those times of trial you've been through where somehow you felt lifted up by the presence of God. You've experienced what the Bible talks about, that peace that passes all understanding. If you want to make those high points part of your daily experience, that is the book for you. It has a language for that spiritual connection and that approach in prayer. Thoroughly good, a great blessing to millions of Christians down the years. Jesus's promise of the Holy Spirit is that he lives with you and will be in you. Spirit lives within each believer. In our bodies, Jesus says, we share accommodation with the Holy Spirit. But the experience of that living arrangement, well, that is up to us, what we choose to have. The third verse I'd like us to look at is verse 26, where Jesus says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, over the lockdowns of 2020 and 2021, Emma and I got to know a gentleman in our community who was shielding and needed some practical assistance for many weeks and then months. We helped him to receive shopping. We helped with some of the practical necessities for him because he was medically vulnerable and quite socially isolated. And we spent many hours chatting with him on the phone, and particularly because he had said at the outset when he had met us that he really wanted to know God. I think in his words were, he really wanted to be able to walk with Jesus and to know him side by side. This was a gentleman who had an experience as a child in the Salvation Army. He had lots of information about Jesus and God. If you like, he believed in God, but had no personal connection. He'd never quite made that step. And it was a great joy for us over the weeks and months to help him in that, to remind him of those things he had heard as a boy about Jesus and about what that meant for him, that Jesus wanted a personal relationship with him. The question was he willing to make Jesus the Lord of his life? And there came a point where he was, and he made that commitment, praise God. But there were some hard yards still to do with this gentleman. He had a great deal to learn as a brand new Christian with a reasonable amount of baggage and difficulty that he'd accumulated in life. And one of his great ambitions was to read the Bible cover to cover. And week after week, I would encourage him, start with the gospel, start with Mark. It's short, it's punchy. It's a Jesus story. Get to grips with that. He's like, no. I'm going to start in Genesis, and I'm going to finish in Revelation. And the Bible he had, and he could not be persuaded out of it, was the King James Version. So not even the language that you and I would use every day. But that was his ambition. And he began, well, he made good progress after making that commitment. But then life got difficult, and he got stuck for weeks. As we'd have phone conversations with him during the lockdowns, he was stuck at Exodus chapter 12. And he could go no further. There were many times he was saying, I can't even open my Bible today. This went on for a number of weeks. And we prayed for him that he'd have the strength to continue with it. He'd received many blessings in reading it so far. He's very excited. But he just got stuck. And then one day, our prayers for him were answered. I rang him, and instead of a conversation where you could pick up on the mood, and he'd be fairly down and what have you, he was full of excitement. He was full of joy. He said, John, I picked up my Bible this morning. You know, I woke up and there was something different. It felt like something had just, like a weight was lifted off me. I felt so free, and I opened my Bible. And I read that next verse from where he'd been stuck, And he said this, and it says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial." Exodus 12, chapter 14. "And this day shall be unto you a memorial." And he said, "John, I feel like God was saying that to me, that this is a fresh start for me. And I feel it. Do you think that's what God's saying?" And I said, "Absolutely. That sounds exactly like what God's saying to you. It's a fresh start. And I think he's wanting you to remember this day will be a memorial when you turned a corner, when you overcame this." And he was excited. I was excited. It's great. And at the age of 72, this gentleman then went on over the course of the year to read the whole Bible, cover to cover in the King James Version. Signs and wonders. And there are many occasions where he, in our phone conversations, he'd say, "Well, I read this, and it just seems like God's speaking to me through that. Do you think that's God, John?" I say, "Yeah, I do think that's God. I think it's God's Spirit in you, making you excited about this, giving you a revelation about the truth of what is there." So my question for us to think about, what's the last thing the Holy Spirit taught you? As we read our Bibles, and I hope every day, what is the Spirit drawing your attention to? What jumps off the page? Maybe a single word, maybe a single verse. You might have read it 20, 30, 40, 100 times, but today there's something in there that just jumps off the page, speaks into your life. What is the Spirit teaching you? The Spirit is our perfect instructor, always living with us, living within. The Spirit knows us for each from the inside out. He knows our circumstances inside out. The follow-on questions is, if we have this perfect teacher with us, what kind of students are we being? Are we paying attention to our teacher? Are we doing our best to soak ourselves daily in the Scriptures so that when the Spirit wants to remind us of the words of Jesus, he's got something to work with in our memories? The Bible says of itself in 2 Timothy chapter 3, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." I don't know about you, I want to be thoroughly equipped for life. I know I need it from God. We have from God, through the history of the church, we have these God-breathed Scriptures. They're made alive to us as believers by the Spirit when we read them. And that Spirit is able to use these God-breathed Scriptures to bring them to life, to speak into our exact circumstances we find ourselves in. But in reality, many of us get stuck from time to time. So I'm sure each of us can remember those times we were going great guns with God. We were making progress week after week after week. But many times we too get stuck. And there may be some here, the last time you encountered God's word was maybe last week or previously. If that applies to you, let me bring you encouragement. Give God 5 minutes of your day, every day, in the Bible, attentive to what the Spirit is showing you. As each of us, we can spare 5 minutes, but 5 minutes every day over a year. And let me tell you, you'll be surprised by the person you are at the end of it. God, through his Spirit, will do a work in you. You will be transformed. You will know it. The people around you will know it. God's Word is a place of encounter. It's a place where we can receive that teaching of the Holy Spirit, receiving speaking into our lives. So if the Holy Spirit is willing to be our teacher, let us be good students. If the Holy Spirit is living within us, then let us take the time to develop a deep, committed relationship. Let's spend that quality time together. And let us be a people who, when we have a helper made available to us, we receive that help. We cooperate with God. We co-labor with him, that we end up, whatever our circumstances, as willing participants for whatever the Spirit wants to do in us and through us. That God's kingdom may come, and we in our lives may bring him, our Savior, much glory. Amen. We're going to have a time of prayer ministry. If I could invite Matt and the band to come up. But as we're at the outset of this, we're going to do, as far as I understand it, unless the Spirit directs otherwise, two or three different things to encourage us and make an opportunity for us, depending on our circumstances, to encounter the reality of the Helper, the Advocate, our Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who is with us today. So let me encourage you to stand, if you're able. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have not left us as orphans. That though you went to the cross, though you are ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father, that you have not left us alone. The Holy Spirit you have given to us, poured out on Pentecost and at work in your church ever since, within us as believers. We thank you for that. What a privilege. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, would you move upon us right now? Move upon our hearts. Move upon our minds. Move upon our bodies too, Lord. Would you move among us now, we pray. Now, some of us in this moment, we perhaps are not feeling particularly anything. But some of us may have that experience of that hint of the Spirit doing something on our hearts. We feel something spiritually going on. If that is you, let me encourage you to open your hands out in front of you as a sign of openness, a sign you're willing to receive. Holy Spirit, we bless what you're doing. We'd ask you for more. All that you want to do in us, we want to cooperate with, we say yes to you. So we invite more. Move upon us, we pray. One of the great prophecies of the Old Testament about the spirits we find in Ezekiel chapter 36, where he speaks of the time when God will pour out that spirit. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. The giving of the spirit was the answer to the human condition of a people rebelled against God. And here we are, able to receive the Spirit. And if there is anyone here whose desire this morning is that God would do that in them, that they would remove from you your heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh, renew your heart from the inside out, let me invite you, would you raise a hand in this moment if you desire that from God? Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. And I pray for each of these people, Holy Spirit, your word promises a renewed heart. We pray, renew these hearts now, Holy Spirit. Do upon them a new thing. Renew from the inside out. We bless you. Bless what you're doing, Holy Spirit. We thank you. Now, if there are elders in the church, there's a couple of folk with their hands raised. If you could find them and just pray with them as we going to move and invite God to minister to another group of people. Yeah. So if you'd like to be prayed for in that way, please, let's see, please come to the front if you're able to, and would like to receive prayer. You feel like God is doing something, wants to do something in your heart. Thank you. Okay. Now, for others here today, you'll have heard that brief testimony I shared of a gentleman who was stuck, week after week after week, stuck. His challenge was reading the Bible, but as believers, often we can find ourselves stuck, trying to overcome something within us, trying to overcome a situation around us. If you are someone who is experiencing being stuck in something, and you know you need God's help to move beyond that, let me invite you. Would you raise a hand that we can pray for you specifically? If you desire God to get you unstuck, thank you. Thank you. Okay. I see those hands and God sees them too. In the name of Jesus Christ, speak to those situations, those places where the enemy has kept people in bondage, locked up, unable to progress. And in the name of Jesus, we come against that and we break it in the name of Jesus, and we declare freedom where there has been bondage, where people have been stuck. We speak freedom of movement in the Spirit. We dare claim victory over those private personal battles. We declare victory in Jesus' name. And we invite your strength, God, for those in that situation to move forward in freedom, to never step back into bondage, but to know freedom. Very quickly, I see the children at the back there, but if you have a sense that the Spirit is doing something in you this morning, and you want to get on board with it, let me encourage you as Tim, I nominate you to put a wrapper on this, bless and pray who you feel led to, that's great. But if someone is able to welcome the children back in your normal way, I'm not normally here, I don't know exactly what's normal here, but we want to continue to lean into what the Spirit's doing. If you feel like God's doing something, you might not know what it is, please come forward at the end of the service, receive prayer. If God wants to do something, if He wants to reveal something to you, do a work in your heart, in your mind, let me encourage you, come forward. Don't leave here wondering, what if? Come forward and see what might be. Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you're doing. We bless it as we bring our service to a close. As Matt, if you want to play in on that one, let me close with a blessing from Romans chapter 15, where the word Spirit breathed says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Share together the grace. May now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. The Lord bless you.